texting me as well, and I was like,
alright, good morning.
I was like, hey, sure.
Hey, welcome to it. I'm going to go ahead and get started. There's a sheet in the back that we're going to do some fill in the blank on. Classic GBC breakout session. We've got some blanks to fill in. Should be kind of fun. This session is called Redeeming Good Stories. And if that's confusing, if the description was confusing, it is confusing. I'm kind of wondering, what is this about? But we're figuring it out together. Here's what I know, going into it, as we're kind of getting settled in. I had 9 pages of notes and 9 Tolkien Lewis quotes in there. And I've chopped it all down. So here's sort of the genesis of this breakout session. Maybe this is an intersection of a couple things. One being that content is coming at you regardless of where you are and who you are. Like, we have an influx of content. And that's always been the case. There's nothing new under the sun. What is new is it's coming from a lot of different angles. And there's a lot of different modes of transmission of the content that you can take in. Podcasts, music, books, movies, TV shows. How many platforms of TV shows on there? A lot. The content's coming, we need to know what to do with it. And so that's sort of one element of this, is like it can come at us from so many angles, and we have to have some appropriate filter for the things we're taking in. So that's one. The second is to say, and to get ahead of, saying that not all content is bad. And I think that maybe is a fallacy that is easy to believe, that we just need to be Christians, are in the world, not of it. We escape all of it. We don't watch any movies. We don't watch any TV shows. We don't read any worldly books. I only read Puritans and the Bible, and that is it. And I don't think that's right. Because, if I may, talk about C.S. Lewis for a moment. C.S. Lewis was a devout atheist, if you didn't know that. He's a writer of a lot of books you probably read, things like Near Christianity, Screwtape Letters, The Chronicles of Narnia. He was an atheist. He loved medieval literature. So he loved these stories of old, these old pagan myths. He becomes friends with J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings. They had a close friendship. And Tolkien, who was a believer, and Lewis, who was an atheist, had this conversation where Tolkien challenges Lewis on his understanding of a myth. So Lewis would say Christianity is just like all those other pagan myths. It's sort of there's some true value in it. It's inspiring. There's some things about it to take away, but it's ultimately just a myth and it's not real. And Tolkien pushed back and he basically says it is a myth, but you have a misunderstanding about what a myth is. He says you think a myth is something that's not real. Myth meaning it's not true. But a myth really is something that is true. It has a sort of epic feel, a heroic feel to it, and it expresses deepest aspirations and longings. So all those pagan myths, he says, they express something. There's something to them that is drawing to Lewis. That's why he likes them so much. There's something about them that's actually expressing a deep longing within him, and that's why he likes these old stories so much. That's the heroic feel. The inspiration behind it is what makes it mythic. And so he says Christianity is the myth that is true. It's like all the other myths, and yet it's different because the God-man actually did put flesh on and die for our sins, and he did rise again. And he says the reason why you love all those other myths so much is because they're all derivatives of Christianity, of what he called the great myths. He called them splintered fragments. These stories were splintered fragments of the true life. That's how Tolkien put it. From that conversation, a little later on, Lewis clicks with him. And within a matter of days, he becomes a Christian. And he's like, that's the reason why I love all those stories, is because they actually are pointing to the great story. There's something embedded in it. And the reason why I say that is because if one side of this, of the spectrum, is to say all content is bad. The other side of the spectrum would be that all content is good. I don't think either of those things are true, but I think in the middle of that is to say that there are stories that are good. And there are stories that we see a redemptive arc in them. We see these hidden pieces of virtue. We see this deep longing within us when we watch them, when we read them, when we engage with them. It tells us there actually has to be something more to this. And so I think there can be good stories. And so we have to know. We have to have a filter on the things that are coming in. And it's a responsibility as Christians. And that's nothing new, like I said. Some scriptures talk about this. Psalm 101 is an interesting one where David says, I will ponder the way that is blameless. And he says, I'll walk with integrity of heart within my house. I'll not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I'll know nothing evil. He's talking about the conscience that's coming in. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. We see that in the New Testament where we talk about doing all things for the glory of God. It says, wherever I eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So what it says within there is the things we do, the things we take in should be for God's glory. That's the principal question that we're going to be asking today, that you should be asking about the content you're taking in. This is the first blank up here, is does this content glorify God? That's really what we need to be asking when we think about the things we're taking in. And this isn't just going to be applied to stories. It's not just going to be applied. I think that is an application of this. We do need to be assessing all the shows we're watching on all the platforms we have, like I mentioned earlier. We do need to be thinking about the movies we're watching, the music we're taking in. I think all those things are true. I also think generally we can apply this to the modes of content. We can apply this to podcasts and all the content we're taking in on our commutes. We can apply this to all of our social media and what we're scrolling through there, or what we're doom scrolling through there, to YouTube, to the books we read, to all the news outlets you follow, or the one you follow that is making you angry and flustered at the world. You can apply it to text ags, if you're on text ags, or whatever discussion forum, whatever school you went to. You can apply this to the 12 subscriptions you have in your email that every morning you spend an hour reading through, just different content. We need to be saying, content's coming, it matters. There's good content, there's bad content. We as Christians need to say, we're going to be a product of the things we're taking in. Are we taking in the right things? Ultimately, is this content glorifying God? So the way I've broken this down is really in two sections. Matthew 22 talks about the great commandment that Jesus says is to, this is a paraphrase, love your God, love your neighbor. If you're in Exodus this year, then when you see the Ten Commandments, it's really split into two, that is loving God and loving others around us, and how to do those two things. He says, that's the great commandment, love your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And so, if that is what glorifies God, if glorifying God is loving him and obeying his commandments and law, then this is kind of the scripture we're going to use to look at things, to say, does this glorify God? Well, is it drawing a love for God? Is it drawing a love for neighbor? If it's preventing me from doing those two things, it's bad content. And I need to really prayerfully consider, do I need it in my life? But before we get to the actual questions, I do want to emphasize, I don't think that what this should be is that you should leave here and take, from here on out, whatever movie you have queued up on Netflix, you need to answer six questions and say, does it do this, does it do this? I don't think that's right. I don't, this isn't prescriptive from the Bible. This isn't something from, 1 Corinthians that says these are the ways you assess the content coming in. These are general principles of Scripture. These are all things that I think they are generally true. And you have to decide when you're looking through this, almost like a prism, where light comes through at different angles and lands in a different way. It might be that the thing you want to watch, five of these questions don't apply, and it's one question that you're like, that's compromising to me. And I think that means I shouldn't take it in. I think in all of this, what we have to trust that God gives us His Spirit is evidenced in our conscience that it is going to guide us. And we need to be prayerfully approaching all the things we take in. So, with that in mind, it's not. This isn't an antidote to all of it. It's not saying go through all these questions. It's just to give you a little bit of some thought-provoking ideas of ways to assess and to bring in. The first one is, and this is under the category of loving God, is this a tool or is it a master? Is this a tool or a master? A tool has a purpose, a very specific purpose. You don't use a screwdriver to hammer a nail. You use a hammer to hammer a nail. This past week, West, our beloved West Brazelton, was saying he had a life hack where he says you can use scissors. Okay. Scissors and a screwdriver by putting the pointy end of the scissors into the screwdriver and then use that as a paint stirrer. That's kind of crazy, right? But I mean, it works, but the purpose, the tool of scissors is used to cut. That is using the tool for a different purpose. Drill. Yeah. Drill. Pointy end of scissors into a drill and use that to stir paint. That's kind of crazy. But that's using a tool for the purpose it really wasn't intended. But it's a good life hack if you need it. The point there being, we should be asking is, are the things we have, what is the tool? Is it a tool? And if it is a tool, what's the purpose? Example would be Twitter. If for you, you have Twitter, and you say, this is a tool for me to know the news. This is the way that I kind of understand what is happening around me. This is my source of news. That's probably reasonable. That's you'll probably get a lot of interesting content, and you can subscribe to the right things, and you can see it as news. But that might, if that's a tool and that's its purpose, it becomes a master when suddenly it's to get the news, and then it's to have your own echo chamber to circulate the thoughts in your head. I just want to make sure all the things I know are right and true, and let everyone know they're wrong. And then suddenly it's a platform for you letting everyone know how wrong they are and how foolish they are. Twitter then just became something very different. It's no longer a source of news. It's sort of your arena for debate. And that might be a bad use of it. That's when a tool has switched to become something different. If you have Instagram and your source, it's a tool, and you can say the purpose of this tool is to connect with my friends and to know what's happening in their lives, that's probably reasonable. And that's a great way to stay up to date. You know, can't like say Instagram is sinful. Until you're actually just reading, you're scrolling through the feed, and no one on your feed is even a friend. And they're all influencers. And you've no longer kept the purpose of it being to connect with people. Now it's to follow people you do not know, to maybe put into practice things they do. Or it's to shop. Or it's to fall into a trap of comparison. Or it's just to generate new meme content. I mean, that's like, suddenly the tool of connection has lost its purpose. And the danger of that, if you know the purpose, you'll use it for its purpose, you can keep it in its parameters. If you don't, then you start giving it more time it deserves, you start giving more of your talents, and you give it more of your treasures, and that then becomes your master. And then it's no longer something that you're just using as a tool, it's now something that you are serving. This can be true across really the whole spectrum of things I mentioned. I think as it pertains to movies, you can watch a movie and it's recreation, it's to relax. I love movies. I think they're so great. They have great stories. But if I am mistaking a movie for giving me rest, then I'm gravely mistaken. If I give it more of my time and it's going to offer me rest, then I'm probably going to end up being more tired, and I mean physically and also spiritually. So is it a tool? Do I know its purpose? Or has it become a master? The second is this growing my awareness and my trust? Or is it growing my anxiety? Awareness and trust or my anxiety? I think we follow a lot of sources. This is probably most applicable with podcasts. But we can follow a lot of podcasts that are a source of information, which is good. Like, we can take in good content, we have to take that and then apply it to us. But if you're a parent and your day consists of following five different parenting podcasts, and instead of it just growing awareness of topics, and now it's causing great anxiety, saying I'm doing this wrong, and I'm doing this wrong, and I must be doing this wrong, and I'm choosing the wrong school for my kids, that must mean that I'm failing them. If it's causing anxiety, then it might be something you need to take out. It might be something that's leading you away from trust. If awareness can lead to trust or anxiety, if it's leading you to anxiety, then it might be something not worth doing. If you're reading the news because you want to know what's going on in the world, because you want to stay engaged, I think that is good, then you should keep doing it. If you are reading the news and you are becoming consumed by fear of the world, and it's changing the way that you are living, and you're no longer marked by one who is love and joy and peace and you're marked by one who is of anxiety, then it might be something you say, my news content has to go down. I need to go through the right filter. I need to be reading the right subscriptions. I need to do it with others so they can remind me of what is good and right and true. But it's either growing awareness and trust or it's growing anxiety. And you should probably ask, what's it doing? Do I need to have it? And then the last one is this transforming me or is it conforming me? Is it transforming me or is this conforming me? And this comes from Romans 12 where it says be transformed in the likeness of Christ, not conformed to the world. And really, the idea being that we're going to be one of those two things. We're either going to be more like Christ or we're going to become more like the world. And we need to look at the things we're taking in and say, which do we look more like? Is the music that we're listening to making us sound more like the world? Because that's a problem. If it's changing your language, if it's changing your vocabulary, then it's a problem. And honestly, this is like kind of a cliche example, but if you have learned every song of an album, but you struggle with memorizing your growth group memory verse, that might mean you need to cut down your music content. And depending on what the content is, it might mean you should cut it all together. But we're going to be transformed in one of those two things. I remember 10 years ago, my wife and I were starting to watch House of Cards. And we watched a few episodes of it, and we were like, we cannot watch this anymore. Because it is just making us sad. It is like, I love political shows and political movies, and so I'm not broadcasting. You need to decide carefully what you can and can't watch. So I'm not going to say that for you, but I know for us, we literally stopped and said, this is dark. And there's no redemption in this. We're celebrating that the evil characters are the heroes. And we're just making it feeling really sad. And I think we need to stop. And I think that's being more conformed to the world and the stories of the world and less transformed in the image of Christ. So is it transforming me? Is it conforming me? That's the last in that section. And then when you consider growing a love of God, then you consider, is it allowing me to love my neighbors? The first question here, is this replacing authentic community with artificial? Is it replacing the authentic with that which is artificial? Podcasts do this. That's one example. Social media does this. This is interesting. Cambridge, word of the year, parasocial. Their definition, it's a relationship felt by someone between themselves and a famous person that they do not know. It's called a parasocial relationship. Isn't that interesting? That there's now a term for when you feel a closeness to someone that you do not know because you've binge-watched the show or because you listen to all their podcasts, you feel a connection to them you were never meant to feel. It replaces the actual authentic community that comes from your small group, from your church, from your coworkers in your neighborhood, and instead it is escapism that goes to something else that says, no, I actually feel like we just connect. I just kind of, you know, I connect with Jim Halpert. Like, you know, I just like, he's just so chill and he's fun and he's a good guy. And that's not me saying don't watch The Office. I love The Office. But if you have more relationships that you would call relationships that are closeness to people who are not real or who you don't know, and you would say that they are closer than your own relationship in your community group, that's probably a problem. Not probably. That is a problem. And so you need to ask yourself, am I going to the artificial for what I need to be going to the authentic for? Am I running to podcasts and my feeds and things like that for wisdom instead of going to God's word and going to God's people and going to the Lord in prayer? And am I fleeing to these movies and TV shows to say, like, I just want to escape to another world for a little while because it's been a long day? Or are you moving towards your spouse and your kids and your community and being reminded of the realness of friendship? The second question is just helping others, or is it hurting others? Is it helping, or is it hurting? This is probably more in the context of, is your source of content, is it putting you in a position of posting things that are hurting others, that might hurt, I almost said offend, and that actually makes it sound like we're too soft, but from a position of Christianity, are you posting things that might make others say, man, if that's the Christian life, I don't want to be a part of that. Or are you reposting? The content you're taking in, you're a big reposter. Are you reposting things that are like, yeah, I really want to dig at them. I want them to know that this is what I think. I know this is what I like. This is what I believe. And It's just kind of like a little sad. Is your goal to help? Is your goal to hurt? Would others look at your feed and they say, yeah, they're a Christian? Or would they look at their feed and they're like, their life doesn't look any different. It looks just like mine. What would you say? Is this helping or is this hurting others? And then the last one is this something that I would want someone to replicate or eliminate from their life? And this is most pertinent to your ministry. When you consider making disciples, as we follow Christ, follow me as I follow Christ, that's what Paul says. And when you consider that, when you consider the things you're taking in, the movies you're watching, the books you're reading, the podcasts you're listening to, all the sources of content, are you like, I would want that replicated in the person I'm discipling? Or would you say, that's not something you should have. Do as I say, not as I do. Because if that's more of your common answer to that, then that might be a problem. If you don't want it replicated, if you wouldn't say this is good for others I'm investing in, then it might not be something that you should have. And you might need to ask, if my goal, if my like big picture, the mission that God has given me is to go and make disciples, go and replicate myself, if I'm really not able to say I want that replicated, I'd actually want that eliminated, then is it worth having? Is it worth taking it? The last question, this is sort of like I said, there's principle, there's all these diagnostics. The last one I put on here is probably the most practical, where it's like I said, you're not going from here and you're looking at your social media and you're going to go through all those questions. You might not. The one question I can give you, if you have one that's like stirring on you and you're like, I don't know if I should do this, you should ask the question, can I thank God for this? That might sound too high level, but my point being, can you go home or can you get in your car from here and you can say, Lord, thank you for this movie. Lord, thank you for this TV show that I've been watching. Lord, thank you for this podcast that I'm about to turn on. Because if you can't in a prayer articulate your gratitude for it, if you can't in a prayer say, Lord, this is a good gift, and if you're struggling with finding the words for that, just take it out. Be marked by content that's good. We're going to take in content regardless. Be marked by the content that's good. I can leave here and I can say, Lord, thank you for Christopher Nolan. I think he makes some really great movies that have some really interesting stories. Not all of them, but some of them. I can thank God for Hans Zimmer, who I think makes great music. I can thank God for Jurassic Park, one of my favorite movies. I can thank God for Goodreads sometimes, but not always, because it's a really horrible platform to actually use, but mostly if you what others are reading. And I joke about this, I can thank God for The Office, because I think it's a fun show that has these like redemptive moments and neat relationships. But if you can't, then you should cut it. The one quote I want to leave with you. C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, you know it, I know it. The end of Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Lucy is in Narnia, talking to Aslan, the Jesus-like character, and she's just been told by Aslan that she's not going to be able to come back to Narnia. And she is crying about that. She's sad. And she says, I want to come back. I don't want to leave. And Aslan, who's so gentle and so great, says, this was the very reason you were brought into Narnia, that by knowing me here for a little while, you might know me better there. And that's really the crux of good stories. And when you watch good stories, when you take in good content, you're there for a little while, and you can call it a good gift because you can leave there saying, I'm actually leaving this knowing God better here. I'm seeing these virtues, these truths, these redemptive arcs, these elements of truth that are good and right. And I can say, I can leave here saying, yeah, I can know you better there. That's good content. That's a good reason. So, may I say good luck. There's a lot of good content out there. It's not bad content. Be wise to discern. Be sure to snake. That's what we're called to be as Christians. So let me know if you have any questions. Otherwise, head to your final session. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it. It means a lot.